It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
American kids are doing better at math, which could mean a better economy for the future.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A U.S. government study's out today called The Nation's Report Card, which says younger students in this country are doing better at math. And that could mean better things for the nation's job market. Marketplace's Eve Tro is with us in our Los Angeles studio with the latest on that story. Hey, Eve.
Hi.
We hear all the time how bad U.S. test scores are. Are these numbers encouraging?
Well, they're not discouraging, is maybe a better way to say it. So test scores overall in this measure have risen steadily, like one little percentage point at a time for about 20 years. But given all the money and classroom time we've poured into testing, a lot of people would like to see some home runs here, not just singles. And then you can think of it this way, though. No strikeouts, no dip in the scores, even though public schools are handling more children in poverty and more children from immigrant families.
All right. But what are the consequences and what consequences do these scores have for the economy?
That depends on which economy you mean. Yeah. The scores did show an achievement gap, with white and Asian students doing a lot better than other groups. And for those students on the bottom, that affects how they're going to live in this economy, whether they get good jobs, move up. And on the international stage, it's hard to say. The U.S. is in the middle of the pack compared to other wealthy nations. I talked to Gary Burtless at the Brookings Institution, and he said, you know, despite being a bit embarrassing on these test scores, so far they haven't hurt our economy.
And we just don't know whether it's the performance of sort of the average youngsters in school or whether it's the performance of the superlatively talented youngsters in school that makes a bigger difference.
He says, you know, think of Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. You don't need 100 Steve Jobs. You just need one every few years. And our educational system has been providing that.
All right. Marketplace's Eve Tro here in the studio. Eve, thanks.
Thank you.
Educators in Colorado are scrambling after losing a tax vote in that state that would have sent upwards of $3 billion to K-12 schools. Voters rejected the income and sales tax proposition by a near 2-to-1 margin. Cuts in education over the years have taken a toll on schools all across that state. Joel Slemrod is an economics professor at the University of Michigan, and he's with us now from Ann Arbor. Professor, thanks for being with us.
Sure.
This vote, how much does it reflect what the country feels about tax increases? I mean, were you surprised by it?
I'm not surprised. I think it's consistent with what a lot of public opinion polls have been saying, which is that Americans are willing to raise taxes on someone else, be that high-income households, millionaires, or big corporations, but they are very wary now of raising taxes on themselves.
Are people really fed up with taxes, or are they programmed to feel that way? I mean, nobody wants to pay more or pay more, you know, out of their paychecks or things like that. But for services and education and things like that?
Well, I think people are feeling like they are stressed financially and legitimately are wary of raising taxes, which would reduce their disposable income. In a recent poll, almost 80% of people said they were against raising taxes on the middle class. The problem is, as you suggested, about the same percentage are also against reducing Medicare benefits or reducing Social Security benefits, which for the federal government, of course, is the long-term issue we're going to have to face up to.
And where do we go from there? I mean, who takes advantage of that?
Well, I mean, what I hope happens is that eventually we have an adult conversation about how much government we want and how much we think is worth paying for. To do that, to have that adult conversation, people have to make the connection that over the long term, we should be able to and want to pay for what government services we get.
Professor Joel Slemrod of the University of Michigan. Professor, thanks.
Sure.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, average of 1.5%. The Dow up 199 points. about 1.7% at 11,857. Global markets closed mostly higher today as well. American companies said they cut around 42,000 workers last month, according to job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. That's the lowest level, lowest number of cuts in 4 months. And home mortgage applications rose slightly last month, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, presenting The Fabric of the Cosmos, a new NOVA series with physicist and author Brian Greene, starts tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet, Reputation.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com.
The Fox TV show The X Factor has been struggling in the ratings this season. So tonight, producers are launching an experiment with social media in an effort to attract viewers and hopefully attract more ad revenue as well. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Starting tonight, fans of The X Factor will have more to tweet about than Judge Simon Cowell's hijinks.
Okay, have you ever performed in public before?
Now, viewers may be able to vote for contestants on the show using direct Twitter messages.
This is just the next step.
Carl Howe of market research firm Yankee Group says this type of interactivity was pioneered by another show that featured Simon Cowell, American Idol. That show allows viewers to call, text, and vote online.
Making it interactive is a way to really bind the viewer to the show.
And with Twitter, potentially connect them with marketers. Twitter forces users to keep their thoughts short and to the point, and Howe says that makes it easy for advertisers to target users. And it may be gold for Fox. Barry Liebert is the author of Social Nation.
Because if they're capturing my Twitter handle, they'll be able to contact me and see if I want to engage in other shows that they may be running.
And 13 million viewers, that's something to tweet about. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, train bandits. Yeah, they still exist. A Union Pacific train was rolling through Victorville, California the other day when it took an unscheduled stop in the middle of the Southern California desert, about an hour and a half northeast of Los Angeles. The rail line is investigating why the train stopped in the first place, but it may have something to do with some missing cargo. Investigators found the train was missing a couple of hundred bucks worth of goods. They suspect the bandits made off with 20 boxes of frozen pig's feet. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal with Marketplace.
And I'm Justin Rolat with the BBC World Service's Business Daily. Tune in for a joint venture of sorts.
A look at why everything is global, from what's happening in the Eurozone
to what's happening next door.
When people place orders a month in advance, I have to say, okay, it might be this price, but it could be this price if the euro goes back up.
All that and more from Marketplace
and the BBC
on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.